The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 22, text number 3, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 13th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So after that wonderful kirtan bath, now we will dive even deeper into this sublime nectar. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 22, text number 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tat Darshana
Udgatan
Pranam Prajaditsu
Iva
Utita
So
Sadashya
Anuga
Yavanya
Indriya Isha
Gunan
Iva.
Sometimes you may wonder why what I'm saying, the word for word, is different from what's on the board. Just like in the word for word, I'm saying Iva, and then I'm saying Utita. Iva, and then Utita. But you'll see on the board, it's not Iva Utita, it's Ivotita. The reason it is like this is that in Sanskrit language, different words are rolled into one, and they are combined in a certain way that they flow together very nicely. So Iva Utita becomes Ivotita. And then in the bottom you see Indriyesho. It's actually Indriya Isha. And it becomes Indriyesho. Indriya Isha becomes Indriyesha, but then it becomes Indriyesho to combine with the word that comes after it, Gunan. So in Sanskrit there are complex rules of how to combine words in a certain way that they flow very nicely, like poetry.
Sanskrito kalboje yra tam tikros taisyklės, kurių dėka sujungų žodžius, jis kalba labai sklandžiai ir gražiai.
There are strict rules, it's called sandhi, or combining.
Tikslios taisyklės, kurios vadinasi sandhi.
Of how the words combine in a certain systematic way.
Kaip sujungti žodžius tarpusavyje tam tikrą sistemą.
So when I speak the word for word, you have to hear carefully because sometimes it'll be different from what's written on the board. So now we'll do the shloka. Tadarshanod gatang pranan Pratyadit surivotitai Pratyadit suravotita Sasadas yanugo vainya Indriyesho gunaniva Tadarshanod gatan pranam Pratyadit surivotita Satadas yanu go vainya. Indriyesho gunaniva. Tadarshanod gatan prana. Prajadit surivotita. Sadasya sa sadasya nu go vainya indriyesho gunan eva tat him darshana seeing udgatan being greatly desired. Pranan, life. Prajaditsu, peacefully going. Eva, like. Uttita, got up. Sa, with. Sadashya, associates or followers. Anuga, officers. Vainya, king prithu. Indriya Isha, a living entity. Gunan Eva, as influenced by the modes of material nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Seeing the four Kumaras, Prithu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them. Therefore, the king, with all his officers, very hastily got up as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27, it is said, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Every conditioned soul is influenced by a particular mixture of the modes of material nature. As such, the conditioned soul is attracted to certain types of activity, which he is forced to perform because he is completely under the influence of material nature. Here, Prithu Maharaj is compared to such a conditioned soul. Not because he was a conditioned soul, but because he was so anxious to receive the Kumaras that it was as if without them he would have lost his life. The conditioned soul is attracted by the objects of sense gratification. His eyes are attracted to see beautiful things. His ears are attracted to hear nice music. His nose is attracted to enjoy the aroma of a nice flower. And his tongue is attracted to taste nice food. Similarly, all his other senses, his hands, his legs, his belly, his genitals, his mind, etc., are so susceptible to the attraction of the objects of enjoyment that he cannot restrain himself. Prithu Maharaj, in the same way, could not restrain himself from receiving the four Kumaras, who were bright by dint of their spiritual progress, and thus not only he himself, but also his officers and associates all received the four Kumaras. It is said, birds of a feather flock together. In this world, everyone is attracted by a person of the same category. A drunkard is attracted to persons who are also drunkards. Similarly, a saintly person is attracted by other saintly persons. Prithu Maharaj was in the topmost position of spiritual advancement, and as such, he was attracted by the Kumaras, who were of the same category. It is said, therefore, that a man is known by his company. Vandeham. Jī Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So Prithu Maharaj is pretty attracted to these Kumaras. He's so attracted he can't restrain himself. When a karmi is attracted by sense gratification, he cannot restrain himself. So, Prithu Maharaj is compared to a karmi. Of course, it doesn't mean he is karmi. Because he is not attracted to any sense gratification. He is attracted to the four Kumaras. Birds of a feather flock together. If you're attracted to a sadhu, that means that you're a sadhu, actually. So he's attracted to these sadhus because he is sadhu. So it is actually like that. The attraction of the Krishna devotee, he becomes very, very attracted to Krishna and to the sadhus. Śrīla Prabhupāda discusses this in his purport in the Bhagavad Gita. The boy, you see, he's very attracted by a girl. And a girl is very attracted by a boy. That is psychology. No one has to tell you, you boys are supposed to be attracted to girls, and no one has to tell the girls that you girls are supposed to be attracted by boys. It happens naturally. It's a natural impulse born of the modes of nature. It comes spontaneously. So, in the same way, for someone who becomes purified in Krishna consciousness, in the same way, the same spontaneous way, they become attracted to everything relating to Krishna. The name of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, the deity of Krishna, the prasad of Krishna, all of these things. I just got an email today from one of my students. She had attended one of these, they have what are called japa workshops, where they do intense training in japa. And at the workshop, she was chanting even, one day she chanted 67 rounds. But now she said that she's come home, japa is a great struggle for her.
Ir dabar jis pasakė, kad namuose, jei džiapa yra iš tikrųjų labai sunkus dalykas.
So I describe for her, it's not that japa should be struggle, you see. Because what is japa? It is Krishna. Krishna is appearing in the form of his name. So if you have some wonderful friend that you love very much, you see, is it a struggle to meet with them? If I tell you that your dearmost friend that you haven't seen for a long time has just now arrived and he's coming in the door, would you find it a struggle to meet with your friend? No, your heart would be overflowing with joy. Oh, my friend has come. I'm so happy. I'm just so happy. It's a time for a big celebration. My friend has come. So that's how the japa should be. That my dearmost friend, Krishna's holy names, they have now come to me. This is a great celebration. Japa celebration. That's what we have every morning, you see. We have after Mangal Arati, we have a japa celebration. If one is thinking, oh, this is a struggle, I have to get my rounds done. Oh, now I got to do 16 of them. There's one, and now I got 15 left, and there's two, now I got 14 left. When's this going to be over so I can go sleep? This is not the right mood. The right mood is, oh, Krishna has so kindly come. He is blessing me with his association. This is a great cause for jubilation. This is like Prithu receiving the four Kumaras, you see. We are, every day we get to receive the holy name. That, wow, now it's time for japa.
Oh, dabar laikas japa.
What a wonderful thing, japa time.
Koks nuostabus dalykas, japos laikas.
You see, that's how we should be. Very, just like a young boy when he sees a young girl, he goes, wow, what a good looking girl. See? That's a natural psychology, see. So we just say, wow, what a wonderful mantra. It's so beautiful. It's so sweet. It's so full of unlimited nectar. Wow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, this is how we should be relating to the Holy Name, not some struggle, you see. Oh God, I have to chant again. So this is a very good lesson, you see, how Prithu Maharaj is receiving the Kumara. It's a very good lesson for us. We should receive every thing of our bhakti, you see, in the same way. When we're hearing the Bhagavatam class, we should also be like this. Bhagavatam class is not a time for a nap, you see. It's a time to dive deeply into the sweet nectar of this ocean of Krishna bhakti. Wow, what a great opportunity. Bhagavatam! What a great opportunity. Nitai Gaurachandra Darshan, Radha Damodar Darshan, you see. The heart should be dancing in ecstasy. Oh, my Lord has appeared. He has appeared in the form of the Bhagavatam. He has appeared in the form of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. He has appeared in the form of Nitai Gaurachandra. He has appeared in the form of the spiritual master. Krishna, my Lord, is so kind upon me. He has appeared in the form of devotional service. In this way, our heart should be dancing in ecstasy at every minute. We should be totally enlivened, just like Prithu Maharaj was enlivened to meet the Kumaras, you see. So, here is a way you can test yourself. To see if you are properly situated in Krishna consciousness. When you deal with each and every aspect of bhakti, ask yourself this question. Am I feeling enlivenment by engaging in this service as Prithu Maharaj greeting the four Kumaras? Am I enlivened to hear this Bhagavatam class as if I were Prithu Maharaj receiving the four Kumaras? Prithu Maharaj was so enlivened that not only did he stand up to enthusiastically receive the Kumaras, but all of his ministers, all of his associates. You see? All of his officers also stood up. The whole assembly became enlivened. So, and we have to see, am I that enlivened to hear the Bhagavatam class? Am I that enlivened to wake up every morning when the alarm clock goes off for another day of devotional service? And then we can understand how Krishna conscious we are, or how un-Krishna conscious we are. And if we're not as enlivened as Prithu Maharaj, what will we do? How will we cure ourselves of this disease? This great acharya of enlivenment, Prithu Maharaj. I have a little tip. All you have to do is pray to Prithu Maharaj. Just as you're enlivened to receive the Kumaras, please bless me that I can be enlivened to hear this Bhagavatam class, I can be enlivened to chant my japa, I can be enlivened to do devotional service, etc. Prithu Maharaj is a powerful acharya. He can bestow this enlivenment upon you. So this is a very nice program. We can follow in these footsteps of Prithu Maharaj. So, what are we attracted to? That determines, that is a measure of where we are at spiritually. If we're attracted by sense gratification, then we're just karmi, actually. We're not really devotees yet. And if we're attracted to devotional service, then we're a devotee. If we're attracted to sadhus, that means we are sadhu. If we're not attracted by sadhus, that means we're tamaguni. So, we have to, in this way, understand our position and take the help of the sadhus and of Prithu Maharaj, how we can also become sadhus. So, that being said, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Here is the ninth offense of the holy name. to instruct a faithfulness person about glorious of
yeah.
And how to be right in this while preaching.
Yes. You have to master the art of finding that faithfulness within their heart. Because on some level everyone is faithful. So you have to deal in such a way with everyone that you inspire them to be pious. Everyone has a good side and a bad side. Even the biggest demon has a good side to him. In English they call it a soft place in your heart. Everybody has a soft place in their heart. Even the hardest, cruelest, wickedest demon has a soft place in his heart. So you have to deal with people in such a way that you appeal to that their pious nature. And if you do that, you'll never be guilty of committing the ninth event. It requires common sense and it requires good intelligence. If you sincerely endeavor to preach on behalf of Krishna, he will give you the good intelligence how to do it. And when you make mistakes in your preaching and they get disturbed by your preaching, then you can learn from those mistakes so you don't do that again. Next question. Yes.
If our child does not want to chant holy name, how should we deal, treat with him? To ask him.
You should dive deeper into the name yourself. You should become more and more yourself absorbed in the name so that they become inspired by your chanting. And they say, my mother has become a great transcendentalist. They will want to follow your example. Yad yaja chadati shreshtas tattade vetaro jana siyad pramanam kurute lokas tadanivartate. Whatever a great man does, or woman, in your case, whatever a great woman does, the common people follow in her footsteps. Whatever standard she sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So you have to become an acharya, Mataji, that's all. You become a great acharya, you see. And then your children will worship you. And they'll do whatever you do. But if you remain karma mishra bhakta, then you won't be able to inspire them. So you have to you focus on becoming a pure devotee. By taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and fully dedicating yourself to carrying out his instructions, you will become a great acharya, and your children will follow you. That's the answer. Yeah?
What about Srila Prabhupada? He was a great acharya, but not his sons didn't follow him.
Yes, sometimes they don't. But just see how many did follow him. Sometimes even when the greatest acharya, they remain mudha. What can you do? But I can guarantee you this. You can't force them. The only thing you can do is inspire them. That's the only hope you have. And the only way you can really inspire them is you become very, very, very inspired yourself. If you don't become inspired, I guarantee you, you'll be a failure with them. And if you do become inspired, then I give you a very good chance of being successful. And even if you're not, at least your deliverance will be guaranteed. You will go back to Godhead. And when you go back to Godhead, they will automatically go anyway. But that doesn't mean you should not try to make them devotees. Next question. Yeah.
If there is some desires, material desires in the heart, how one should act with them? Cut them or some?
If you have material desires in the heart, you should squeeze them out by filling your heart full of spiritual desires. Just cram your heart full of so many spiritual desires, and material desires are just squeezed out.
But if we do some spiritual things like, you know, like music, like devotional music, and even the motive is like to gain respect or some attention. What do
you have to be careful because you may do some spiritual activities, but do it for material motivations. So that also can become a problem, you see. So you have to do devotional things that are. You have to fill your life full of devotional things that are completely free of any tinge of material desire. In the beginning, that's maybe a little difficult, but you got to keep trying. And gradually, you'll master the art. Actually, if you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he will force you to do it. That's the shortcut method for success. Birds of a feather flock together. You take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, that just by that act, you become purified of your material desires. You simply do everything to please your spiritual master, that's all. That's completely spiritual desire. Any other questions?
How much then we are preaching, how much should we say to a person that it wasn't be for him not too much or not, that was a proper amount of preaching?
How much you should
preach?
How much you should give them?
Yes.
Whatever they can easily digest. If you pay them more than they can handle, they'll spit it out. Give them what they can easily digest. That's the key. Next question.
We know that making garlands and other devotional services is considered like a service, but could we consider the treatment that other devotees nice relationships as a service, something like giving the cushion or something?
Yes, serving Vaishnavas, that is the top class service. Krishna is more pleased when you serve his devotees than he is when you serve him. So the first thing you should do is how to serve the devotees. That's why we take a guru. We totally give our life in service to the spiritual master. Our whole life becomes an offering of service to our spiritual master. Next question.
The spiritual masters, they are on the different spiritual levels, and you have mentioned that we should to choose the best one. And how can we, with our
imperfect senses,
to choose one?
Yeah, this is a fact, because say, well, I want to choose the best spiritual master, but your senses are imperfect. How do you know? That's why you have to rely on the scriptures. Tadvigyanartam sagarumi vabhigacchat samatpanahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. That is the statement of the Mundaka Upanishad. Tadvigyanartam sagarumi vabhigacchat means you must approach the spiritual master. And then it says you should bring firewood. It's like we're having an initiation ceremony, so the disciples, they can gather firewood for the Agnihotra. So you bring firewood, and then it also describes what is the qualification of guru. Shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Shroti means he is highly learned in Vedic wisdom. And brahmanishtam means he is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So that's really all you have to do. Those two things, shroti and brahmanishtam. If he is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness, and he is highly learned in Vedic wisdom, not only that he can quote the scriptures, but he also can explain it through logic also. If you find such a person, then you must accept him as guru. Now, what if you find many such persons? Then, and you can't decide which of those many such persons you should take as your spiritual master. There's many things you could do.
ir yra daugiau, daugybė dalykų, kaip tai padaryti.
Different devotees have different techniques.
Skirtingi sitarose turi skirtingas technikas.
One Mataji, her thing was, whichever guru asked me first, that tells me first that he would accept me as his disciple, that's the one I will take. So different devotees have different ways they make their decision. Sometimes we explain whichever guru enlivens you the most to be Krishna conscious. Where do you get the most bhakti shakti? Who inspires you the most to surrender to Krishna? That's a good way. That's a very good way. Who enlivens me the most to surrender to Krishna? Because guru is that person who inspires you to surrender to Krishna. Where do I get the most juice, shakti?
Kur labiausiai aš gaunu daugiausiai jėgos arba sulčių?
Yes.
Kartais yra pasirinkama tas asmo, kuris
easily approachable.
That's another one. Some devotees think, well, I want to have a spiritual master that I can actually talk to him.
Kiti žmonės pasirinka tokį asmo.
I can send him emails.
Lengvai bendrauti.
Some gurus have so many disciples, their email address is top secret. Only a few godbrothers know it. And disciples are never allowed to even get the email address of their guru. That's, some gurus are like them. So you have to consider that. If you want to have a guru that you can personally write him and get personal answers, then you have to have a guru that is approachable. Who is willing to personally answer your email and not make his email address a top secret. So that there's many different factors you can weigh into the decision. I can tell you how much it helped me to have the Prabhupada gave access to us, his disciples. That Prabhupada would personally answer our letters. That helped me a lot. Even though there was 10,000 people in the movement, you see. Prabhupada personally answered the correspondence. That made a big difference for me as his disciple. That I knew I could write Prabhupada and he would answer me. Not all the gurus in ISKCON do that now because they're not able to for some reason. But I know it made a very, very big difference in my spiritual life. Then whenever I had a need, I knew that I could personally approach my spiritual master through correspondence and he would answer me.
Aš buvau tikras, žinau, kad aš galiu parašyti savo dvasinį mokytojų ir sulaukti šio atsakymo.
So that's another consideration. What other considerations would there be? Mataji, you're expert at this.
Kokios dar gali būti kriterijai pasirinkti dvasinį mokytojų?
Anything else on the question?
Kas dar turi klausimą?
Yeah.
How can we help one who practice spiritual practice, but with one like he is in Christianity and another like in bhakti, in Krishna bhakti?
One person who is doing both.
Yeah. He's searching for God, but he's.
Is this somebody that was initiated devotee who slipped away, or someone who's brand new is gradually coming?
He practices for some years, but he is not initiated yet.
I see. Oh, okay. So he hasn't taken Diksha yet. Well, you have to encourage him. As we, were you at the lecture last night? I didn't see you there. We dealt with this question last night. Someone asked, could you be a Christian mystic and get the same result? Because there's so many different systems of spiritual elevation in the history of the world. Prabhupada has sometimes stated that either follow Lord Buddha, Lord Jesus, or Lord Krishna, but do it perfectly. So if someone wants to follow a certain pathway, then let them, if they come to the point of pure love of God, then that's first class.
Ir jeigu žmogus nori surasti Dievą, ir jeigu pagilsta jį tyrai, tai pirmos klasės praktika.
But the trouble is, they don't take any pathway full.
Bet problema tame, kad jie nei vieno kelio pilnai neprima.
They want to take a little here, a little there, a little here, and therefore they get nothing.
Nori jie šiek tiek paima iš vieno, iš kitur, ir galiausiai nieko negauna.
Just like in a cookbook, there's 20 different recipes for cake.
Taip kad kulinarinė knyga yra 20.
And they're all good recipes, see? So if you want to bake a cake, you pick one recipe and follow it perfectly. And then you get very good cake. What do you think? Well, I'll take a part of this recipe and a part of that recipe and a part of this recipe, then you get a disaster. You won't get a good cake, you see? So people who want to mix it on their, they want to use their own brain and mix their own little unique, make their manufacture, they're trying to manufacture their own religion is what they're trying to do. But religion is not manufactured by man. Religion is given by God. Dharman hi sakshat bhagavat pranitan. Religion is given by God. So these people who want to do a little Hare Krishna, a little Jesus, a little Buddha, a little, you know, whatever, but, you know, this, it doesn't work. They're deluding themselves. You have to encourage them to become, whatever you want to do, do it perfectly. And if you want to follow Christ, then you have to follow the biblical injunction, thou shalt not kill. And you have to be strictly sannyasi. Christ says, even if you look at a woman lustfully, it is as if you had sinned with, committed adultery with her. So these Christians, they are not Christians. These Christians nowadays, they are not Christians. They're simply cheaters and rascals. So we encourage them to strictly follow this pathway of Krishna Bhakti. But actually, this is not different from the teachings of Christ. This is also Christ's teachings. And I was praying to Lord Christ many years ago, how I was studying the example of Lord Jesus Christ to learn how I could become an enlightened being. Christ was the model I'd put up. I want to be like Christ. Because I knew he was a spiritually perfected being. So I asked God to guide me how I could become like Christ. And my prayer got answered by His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. Who taught me to surrender at Prabhupada's lotus feet. So I learned how to become a perfect Christian from Prabhupada. So there's no difference actually. If the Christians tell me, why don't you accept Jesus? My question is, why you haven't accepted Jesus? Next question.
Kas dar nori
paklausti? All right, one more.
Does that injunction in the Bible, do not kill, means to offer everything to God?
No, not killing means not killing.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, it means I can kill it and offer it to God. No. That I kill this cow and offer it to God. No. Don't kill means don't kill. Don't interpret. Itai Gora Chandra Ki Jai, Shishi Vada Damadar Ki Jai. But patram pushpam palamtayam, that means offer everything. Yagya Shishna Shana Shantau Muchante Sarvika Vishai, that means offer everything. Within the acceptable items of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grain.
O kaip žmonės siekdami Budos mokymų gali pasiekti meilę Dievui, jeigu toj filosofijos nėra Dievo?
How can the Buddhist gain the love for God if there is no any concept of God in the Buddhism?
Only if he realizes that Buddha is the supreme personality of God.
Tik tai jeigu suprasti, kad Buda yra aukščiausias Dievas.
Long as they embrace the concept of void, they'll never become Krishna conscious.
Kol jie laikosi tuštumos teorijos, niekada nepavils Dievu.
Their philosophy is pretty insane philosophy, actually. Their philosophy is insane. Buddhist philosophy is insane. Voidism. Shunyavadi. They say that nothing exists. That means their philosophy doesn't exist either. So why do they embrace it? Doesn't even exist. Nor do they, according to their philosophy, they do not even exist. So why are they trying to tell us their Buddhist philosophy when they don't even exist? And their philosophy doesn't even exist. Next question. Yes. Oh, this is a new one here. Okay.
Any difference between serving directly to Krishna, so some doing some service in a temple, and working and offering the fruits of work to Krishna? What is
it? Depends on how much of the fruit you offer. You just offer a little bit, it is a big difference. If you offer as much as possible, then it's the same.
Jeigu aukojate tiek, kiek sugebate, kiek įmanoma, tai tas pats.
Как пожертвования должны быть распределены? Например, надо пожертвовать учителю, да, храм и, может быть, какие-то другие программы. Как, сколько куда
Kaip paskirstyti aukojimus, ką duoti mokyti, ką duoti, kiek duoti šventyklą ir taip toliau?
How one should difference his offerings, how much to Shrila Gurudev, how much to the temple and
how much to the spiritual master and how much to the temple?
Yeah, how to
how do you divide it out?
Yeah.
It depends on your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual is in a different situation. The spiritual master would like you to support your local temple because your local temple is supporting you in many ways. They're giving you nice deity worship, nice prasadam, nice place for hearing classes, etc. So your Guru Maharaj wants you to support your local temple. And according to Prabhupada's instructions that we read the other day, according to text 50, Prabhupada's purport, he says, the Brahman should live by spreading knowledge and should therefore take contributions from their disciples. So your spiritual master is a Brahman because his whole life is dedicated to distributing knowledge. So according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, you should support your spiritual master with contributions. So you should do a mixed. Now what the percentage should be, 60-40, 20-80, that I don't have an immediate answer for that. It depends on how much you can, what you're able to give, period, and how divide up what you can give. That would be the question. The local temple should feel that, you have to see monetarily, there has to be some understanding of how much value you're getting from the local temple, and that should definitely be supported. The temple should be very well supported. The best way I can answer is give as much as possible to the temple and as much as possible to your spiritual master. That's the best answer. The next question. Yeah.
The followers of Jehovah, they come to, from door to door, and they preach the science of Christ, but they are followers of Jehovah, and should we ask... is it good that you use the Bible and interpret that in spite of using the scriptures of Jehovah, the old one?
Their teachings are nonsense. But at least they're trying to spread God consciousness. We appreciate that. But if you look at their teachings, I one time read one of their books. It's crazy. Teachings are crazy. Ridiculous. But at least they're God conscious. We give them credit for them. The fact that they're going out door to door, if our devotees could be as dedicated to spreading Krishna consciousness as they are to spreading Jehovah consciousness, we could take the whole world in 18 days. So I think we owe them some respect for that. Even though their philosophy is not very good. We have to genuinely respect them for what they're doing. We should admire them for what they're doing. And try to learn from their example. That's why I try to inspire my disciples to distribute books. And I try to inspire all of you to distribute books. Actually, when I took my vow, guru vow, the GBC gave me a vow to take when I became when I began the service of being a spiritual master, I took a vow given to me by the GBC that I would flood this entire planet with Srila Prabhupada's books.
Ir kai aš priėmiau tarnystę būti mokytoju, tai GBC, aš turėjau priimti įžadą, kad stengsiuosi skleisti visą šitą žemę užtvindysiu, reiškia.
So therefore, I'm encouraging all of you to go door to door with Prabhupada's books and sell books like crazy to everybody in this whole city.
Todėl aš jūs skatinu, jūs įsirikiu į prašau jūsų, kad eitumėt kiekvienas nuo durų prie durų ir užpildytumėt visą miestą.
Whenever you have spare time, go on the street, go door to door. If you're too shy to approach people, then get a book table somewhere where a store will let you put a table in front and put a nice book display. And let the people approach you if you're too shy to approach them. But every person in this movement should be dedicated to book distribution. We have to give them we can't let the people all become misled by this Jehovah's Witness philosophy. We have to give them Prabhupada's teachings. So please distribute these books of Srila Prabhupada as much as possible with every spare minute you have, 24 hours a day. No books? There's no books? They have some books.
Nobody announced to anybody about the books.
What is it?
Nobody has announced about the books. Yesterday. Like in other places.
We didn't have any book sale. I would have done it, but we had to run back for the deity worship. We could have had a book sale last night, but we didn't have time. We have to arrange the deity worship separately. Because somehow or another in the evening. No, we usually have at these big programs, we have a big thing where we sell the books right there at the end of the lecture. It's a wonderful program, and we did it in Kaliningrad the other day. So many people came. After the lecture, there was in the back of the hall, there was a big book table with 40 different types of books on it. So yeah, when we have these big programs, it should always be a book table. Actually, we had, in our other lectures, we had book table here. Last week, we had book table. But last night, there was no book table. That's neglect. That shouldn't be neglected books.
There was.
It was outside?
In the hall, yeah.
Oh, okay. But I need to know, well, the best thing is we incorporate it into the lecture. So it's the speaker can also push it.
Yeah.
And then the people can who get a book, they can, we can, I can sign something and it becomes a special thing. They can, we want to sell as many books as possible at each program. That's the point. So, any other questions? Yes?
What is the first? Deity worship or book distribution?
Book distribution is more important. There was one householder couple, they were traveling and preaching, doing book distribution in India. They said, Srila Prabhupada, can we get some deities? Srila Prabhupada said, there's no need, the books are deities. So deity worship should not be neglected. I travel all over the world. I see wherever the deity worship is going on nicely, the preaching also goes on nicely too. I see where the deity worship is neglected, everything falls apart. So deity worship is very powerful. It empowers us for preaching, actually. So therefore, devotees should participate in deity worship, coming as far as possible to put Mangal Arati every day. And if you cannot come for Mangal Arati, then you should rise at 4 o'clock at home and you have an Arati at home, singing Gravastakam at home. This deity worship brings us into strong connection with Krishna. And then, with that connection, we can go out and preach all day long. You see, a doctor, he goes into an epidemic area. And if he's not careful, he'll become contaminated himself by the epidemic. But he takes all precaution with cleansing himself properly so he doesn't become infected. So this deity worship, it protects us from the influence of the material nature, so that we can go out and preach all day long. So they go hand in hand, deity worship and preaching. Because the preacher, he deals with so many contaminating elements, so many karmis he's talking with all day long. He's shaking hands, so many things with karmis. But by the deity worship, he becomes purified of all of that contamination. So deity worship and preaching, you can't separate them. They must go together. Srila Prabhupada pushed both of them, first class deity worship and first class book distribution. First class Harinam, Harinam Sankirtan, first class Ratha Yatra festivals, everything first class, first class restaurants. Everything goes together that Prabhupada has given us. So, we'll stop on that. One more point.
He said that if you see the deity is just in some kind of metal standing there, and so we can neglect it, that's an offense.
That's right.
So how we can neglect the deities?
How we can what?
Neglect the deities.
If we neglect the deities, it is great offense.
Yes.
Krishna has personally come. In some temples, they don't bathe the deities every day. The devotees are personally bathing every day to be clean. And they bathe the deities once a week. That means they think they are a bigger the more important deity than the deity on the altar. So the deities must be bathed and dressed every day. You have a child, you won't bathe them every day? Yeah, the deity worship has to be very nicely done according to the standard that Prabhupada gave us. And one is not willing to worship to that standard, then just have a photograph on the altar, that's all, or a painting. When I joined the movement, our temple, we had a little black and white photograph of the Panchatattva cut out of Back to Godhead magazine. That was our altar. So deity worship means God, you're taking God as a person who is now living in your living with you. You must feed him regularly, you must bathe him regularly, and you must dress him regularly. That is deity worship. Do not neglect this deity worship.
Yes.
batus, bet gerybė per rekadą šitarkį maudyti, ar tai yra teisinga?
Kad jie maudyti per rekadą šį?
Taip, jie pasidaro savo tokius standartus, nu, nusistato, jie taip gali.
Is it okay for the Grigaska devotees who have now a lot of time to make their own standards for worship, like bathe deities only on Ekadashi and such? Like,
if you can only bathe deities on Ekadashi, it's better not to have deities. It's a very low standard. Only on Ekadashi you'll bathe. There's one story, a true story in India. There was deities of Jagannath. These were deities, the whole story of how they appeared to a great Brahmin. So the worship was passed on after he left the world. And gradually the standard went down. Instead of being bathing deity once a day, bathing deity once a week, and then bathing the deity only on Ekadashi. This is a Jagannath deity. And then only on Snan Yatra once a year, only bathe the deity once a year. And then they stopped bathing the deity altogether. They completely stopped all worship of the deity at that point. And then the whole village was killed by an epidemic. Because they didn't like that deity, the whole village was killed. So deity worship is a very serious thing. If one neglects deity, then it can lead to very bad result from the offense. You see, reactions from the
offense.
So, if one thinks I can only bathe the deity on Ekadashi, it's better not to have deity. And one has to see what am I doing that I don't have time. I can only do once every 2 weeks. Am I really don't have the time, or I'm just being lazy? How much time? Then one has to look at their 24 hours. Is every minute being spent in Krishna's service or in my livelihood that I can't avoid? How much am I sleeping? Am I sleeping more than I need to? Am I eating more than I need to? Is there some way I can give Krishna the service that he deserves? One has to look very carefully at one's... Just look at your schedule. Take a piece of paper, write down your daily activities and see if there's any way you can do it. What time do I go to bed at night? What time I wake up in the morning? Actually, according to Vedic culture, if I sleep past 4 a.m., I'm lecha. So am I getting up at 4 o'clock every morning? You see, I just analyze. Am I getting up at 4 o'clock every morning? And if I am getting up at 4 o'clock, why I don't have time to worship the deities? Every day. You see. So it's a matter of we have to sometimes push ourselves actually to do our duty. And then when you actually do it, you enter into a higher dimension of consciousness. And you feel so happy. You feel so enlivened. So I don't recommend these kind of low standards. If you're already in that position, so you have the deities and you have a low standard, then you have to gradually increase your standard. Instead of every Ekadashi, do it every week. And then do it twice a week. In this way, gradually increase your standard. Because if you have deities, Mataji, I want you to bathe them every day. That's the ultimate goal. I want you to find a way to bathe them every single day. You don't have to do it all of a sudden, but gradually you should come to that point. That will take you into new heights of Krishna consciousness. It will elevate your consciousness like anything if you can do that. You'll be amazed at how you become happy. Okay, all right.
Most devotees, they have Jagannatha deities in their home, and this one is very serious, as we know.
Do it without the mic, I can hear you better without the mic.
Most devotees, they worship Jagannatha deities at home.
Most devotees do have deities at home?
Jagannatha.
They do not. Well, that's good.
That's good.
It's better not to. Unless you can worship them, bathe and dress them every day, and have three artis every day, it's better, at least three is the ideal, but if you're working job, two artis a day, morning and evening, bathing and dressing every day, and two artis every day. Unless they can have that standard, bathing and dressing every day, and morning and evening arti, they shouldn't have deities. And if there's someone at home during the day, when they're home during the day, when they're not at work, or the wife is at home, they must have three artis a day minimum. And if that's not the case, just get a photograph of the Panchatattva. But everybody, our gift shops have made a big, ISKCON gift stores have made a big profit by selling a lot of deities. But unfortunately, they don't give the training to the people who purchase the deities and what their duty is now that they just purchased some deities. Of course, you can purchase them and put them, store them somewhere, but if you actually put them on your altar, that now these are the deities, and you have to treat, here is a person, a real live person standing here. It's not a statue anymore. When you put the deity on the altar, say, this is my deity now, I'm going to worship him. That is now a person who is standing there on your altar, a live person. You won't feed him every day? You're putting on fresh clothes every day? You won't dress him every day? You see the offensive mentality? If you put a deity, you have to treat him like a person. Okay. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yeah. Yeah.